Recently, I met with Lorna Kay of the Jewish Genealogy Society. She was at Failsworth Jewish Cemetery with some of her colleagues from the Manchester branch doing some local research. Unfortunately, at the same time, the stonemason was also there doing some work, and so that's the noise that you can hear in the background. Lorna, you've come here today with a group of your members.
Yes.
And it's just coming up to Rosh Hashanah, so I guess it's an appropriate time to come and visit a cemetery anyway.
This is the third time we've done this. Different cemeteries, Rainsor, Blakely, and now Failsworth. And as you say, because the time's appropriate, it's good for us to come as a group to pay respects to family who are buried here and also to do some genealogical research.
The members of the group, have they got family here?
Yes.
So will they be pursuing sort of personal projects, or is it more academic work they're doing?
The personal projects. We're all doing our own individual family histories. When we meet as a group, we compare notes. We say where we found information, how easily accessible it was, how helpful the authorities were, such as the shuls or the sexton.
And are there any special considerations that you have to bear in mind when sort of coming and doing genealogy at a Jewish cemetery as opposed to any other cemetery?
Yes, we do have several members who are not halachically Jewish who have, say, a Jewish grandparent, and we need to tell them how to dress appropriately, to come with their heads covered.
I know you sent out some notes before today's meet-up about how to read headstones and various other things.
Yes. Well,
what do you have to sort of bear in mind when reading a headstone? Are there clues in the Hebrew inscriptions, or
yes,
what do you look for?
One of the main things is, apart from the name of the deceased and possibly any family members who are left, it always gives the name of the father, so it takes you one generation further back. There are also different symbols on the headstones according to maybe if they were Masons or if it was a Levy, or sometimes if it's a more elaborate headstone and it's a lady's grave, you have maybe candlesticks or something else that's relevant.
Oh, right. Did you say if the special things on there if they're a Mason?
Yeah.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I mean, Levy's, Cohen's as well, I assume.
I think so, yes.
But the Masons, what do they have on? Because that's not religious.
No, but it's just, there are different things. There's a very good website called Jewish Gen, and there is a section on there that you can print off, which gives lists of all the things, the symbols and the wording that you're likely to find on a headstone.
Yeah. So that's jewishgen.com.co.uk?
Jewishgen.org.
Right, okay. So people want to know, they can go and have a little look.
Yes.
There. And has genealogy become more popular since it's been on TV and all these things?
It is colossal. It's now supposed to be the biggest hobby and general interest worldwide. Not just Jewish genealogy, but internationally, every country. There are thousands of websites where you can research without even moving from home. It's a very good hobby for a wet November afternoon in front of your computer.
I guess since everybody's now got a computer, it's made genealogy an awful lot easier.
Well, I knew very, very little about my family background, and my parents are long gone. And in the meantime, I've taken my maternal side back to Latvia, to 1759, which is a long way. And my father's side to what's now the Ukraine, to about 1810, basically through the internet, because the records are there. They're digitised, they're accessible in English, and all the archive departments, especially in Eastern Europe, are very helpful. Takes time for the turnaround on your replies if you need to write to them, but they do reply and they are reliable.
So are most of the members in your Manchester group, are they mainly Ashkenazi, or do you have Sephardim in there as well?
We have a few Sephardim. There are very good Sephardi websites also. The Sephardim can actually take their family trees back further, because the Sephardim had surnames before the Ashkenazim had.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm having trouble at the moment because mine only go back a couple of generations. I go back to Syria and it kind of stops there. But
you come to us, we'll help you.
Oh, right, okay, I might. Just to explain, Ashkenazi Jews generally come from northern Eastern Europe, and Sephardim are from Portugal and Spain, who then went back to the Middle East as well, generally speaking. So I think at that point, it'd be quite nice to go around and chat to some of your members just what they're doing.
Thank you very much.
I can see a couple of people in the distance. I'll make my way down there. Can I ask your name?
My name's Liz. If you look at that, first letter of each line spells the guy's name.
Yes, they do that quite often.
I didn't know that, but the ones in London are quite monumental and they've got quite a lot of meaning. There's tree trunks which have been broken, and it was very interesting when you knew what they were looking at.
These headstones have an awful lot of Hebrew on, whereas quite a few headstones, certainly the more modern ones, just have a couple of lines of Hebrew and the rest is in English.
That's right, because people's ability to read Hebrew has declined from the dates when these were set up, and it was expected that everybody would read them.
So is there any advantage in looking at a gravestone as opposed to looking at the records at the shul or at wherever the records are held?
Sometimes there is, because you can very often get their Hebrew name, which will give you the father's name, which you can't always pick up. And then you can tell on here what family they had, mourned by his sorrowing wife, son and daughter-in-law, so you know his wife is still alive when he died. So if you're doing family research, that's pretty important. If you're looking for a date, you know that that gentleman was a married man and his wife was still alive in 1924.
Well, thanks, Liz. Coming across Lorna again. It's turned into quite a nice day. I guess it's not always such a good day doing this sort of thing.
We need a reasonably good day. All we need is dry weather and a cooperative sexton, which we've got here. He's very nice, he's been very helpful, and he's made the record book available to us, which is very important and for which we're grateful.
And so if people want to get involved and find out a bit more about their Jewish antecedents, their history, what should they do? Go to Jewish Gen, of course.
They can email me at lorna.kay@talktalk.net, and I send out a regular email. At the moment, we're taking a bit of a break till after the Jewish holidays are finished.
Thanks, Lorna.